The step of faith. Are you stepping in faith today? If you have your Bible with you or your Bible apps, there is a book called Book of Matthew in the Bible that shares a story from Matthew chapter 14. And it's a story I'd like to share with you this morning. And if for some reason throughout this service that you don't understand the words that are being said, or the terminology sometimes that's being used, please reach out to one of us after the service, and we would be happy, one of the leadership team members, and we would be happy to help you in your spiritual journey and in your journey in understanding more about God's Word and God's Scripture. Matthew chapter 14. Immediately after this, Jesus insisted that his disciples get back into the boat to cross to the other side of the lake. And while he sent the people home, after sending them home, he went up into the hills by himself to pray. Night fell while he was there alone. And meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble far away from land, for a strong wind had risen, and they were fighting heavy waves. About 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came towards them, walking on the water. When it doesn't say how long they were in the storm, does it? When the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified. And in their fear, they cried out, "It's a ghost." But Jesus spoke to them at once. "Don't be afraid," he said. "Take courage. I am here." And then Peter called out to him, because Peter is Peter, right? "Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you walking on the water." And Jesus says, "Yes, come." And so Peter went over the side of the boat and walked on the water toward Jesus. But when he saw the strong wind and waves, he was terrified and began to sink. "Save me, Lord," he shouted. And Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him. "You have so little faith," Jesus said. "Why did you doubt me?" And when they climbed back into the boat, the wind stopped. Then the disciples worshipped him. "You really are the Son of God," they exclaimed. And after they crossed the lake, they landed at Gennesaret, where when the people recognized Jesus, the news of his arrival spread quickly throughout the whole area, and soon people were bringing all their sick to be healed. They begged him to let the sick touch at least the fringe of his robe, and all who touched him were healed. When the people recognized Jesus, There was a French author named Voltaire, and he said, "Faith consists in believing when it is beyond the power of reason to believe." I'm going to say that again. Faith consists in believing when it is beyond the power of reason to believe. And the disciple named Paul wrote to the Corinthians in Scripture, "We walk by faith, not by sight." And then Martin Luther King Jr. preached, and I love this, "Faith is taking the first step, even when you don't see the whole staircase." Yeah. Faith is taking the first step, even when you don't see the whole staircase. We live by faith. If we have accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and if we believe that he has died on the cross for the things that we have done wrong in our life, and we have asked him to be resident in our hearts, we live by faith, not by fear. We are saved. We've accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior by faith. And we grow in faith as we see God working in each and every circumstance of our lives. And I'm sure we all probably agree today, our desire is to live, or should be, genuine faith as we follow Jesus. Now, I want you to take a minute and share with the person next to you something about faith. Something about faith. What does faith mean to you? What does faith mean to you? Think about it. What does faith mean to you? Could be as much as turning on a light bulb, because it's going to work if you turn it on. It could be as much as having the furnace fixed this week, and boy, is it fixed. Right? How have you grown? Those are physical set examples, but how have you grown in your faith this week? And to enter into a lifelong journey of faith, we've got to take that first step. If we want to get to the top of the staircase, we got to take that first step, don't we? And for many of us, that first step can be the most frightening. I walked through the Oshawa Town Center yesterday for a little bit. Crazy, I know, on a long weekend. And I watched a little girl trying to get on the escalator. And just afraid to take that first step. How many of us have been there like that? Nobody's pointing any fingers this morning, are you? I remember my son being like that. And I also remember not being as patient as that lady was yesterday. Come on. There's nothing to be afraid of, only to discover that he was legitimately afraid of heights now. But that first step can be the most frightening, the most difficult, and ultimately the one that we avoid taking. We used to walk around to find stairs so that Daniel didn't have to go up the escalator. That's how afraid he was of taking that first step then. And so maybe this is why we resonate with Peter. We see him wrestling with his faith, working through obstacles, and ultimately we know that he gave his life as a disciple of Christ. And so we're going to zoom in on that one specific story from the book of Matthew, a story that we just read, when Peter steps out of the boat and tries to walk to Jesus. Peter takes a singular step of faith that has been recorded for all time. And through his story, there is much to learn about the power of faith, the temptation of fear, and the ripple effect that happens when we step out. So as we read through this passage, it's easy to see why this is one of the most important lessons on faith in the Bible. Philip Yancey, a Christian author, says, faith means believing in advance while it only makes sense in reverse. Faith means believing in advance that will only make sense in reverse. I think this quote accurately describes the scene that we have here. It must have been an absolutely shocking thing to experience. And we're able to learn from it and hopefully apply these lessons of faith and to see the power of Jesus and his ability that Jesus had to invite others into the literal and proverbial waters with him. Faith is not just a passive belief. It is an act of trust. A trust in God. And we see Peter. Yeah, he was a simple fisherman. He's stepping out of a boat in the middle of a stormy sea. And this is, you know what? That's not a normal reaction. How many people do you know that would step out of a boat in a stormy sea? Not very many, eh? It defies the law of nature. It's an human instinct for self-preservation. But Peter isn't acting on his own understanding or his own strength there. He is acting on faith. He's responding to his rabbi's invitation. His faith and trust empowers him to do what is humanly impossible, to walk on the water. This we see is that power of faith. It's the ability to trust God so completely that we are willing to take that first step out of our comfort zones, to take risks, to defy the norms, and the expectations of the world around us. It is the courage to believe that with God, all things are possible. It's the teenage Mary being told she'll give birth to the Son of God and then proclaiming nothing is impossible with God. It's the disciple Paul or the apostle Paul writing to the Philippians from prison, and he says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Faith is not just about believing in God, but believing in what God can do through us. It's about believing that God can use us to accomplish his purposes. No matter how inadequate, no matter how unqualified we may feel. You see, Peter was not a trained water walker. He was not a trained water walker. Now, when Ted was on the seconded to the Ottawa floods back, what, 3 years ago, maybe 2 years ago? Anyway, yeah, time just goes by so fast, doesn't it? There were actual water walkers, people who were trained to walk through the floods to remain safe. Is that about right? Is that how?
They were trained to walk through the water to get to the houses to rescue people.
They were trained to walk through the water to get to the houses to rescue people. And only them would be able to do it. And they were called water walkers because they had all the equipment that they needed to be able to do that. Peter, what was Peter? He was a fisherman. I don't know, Wayne, if he put a worm on the hook or not. I don't know if he put a, what are they called?
A lure,
thank you. A lure on the end of the rod and fish. Most of the scenes that we see is they put a net over the side and they pulled in, or they have it pulled in, right?
A jigger.
A jigger, yeah, there you go. But his faith, regardless, his faith in Jesus empowered him to step out of the boat and onto the water. Some time ago, I shared a story about supposedly, accidentally, it's no accident, accidentally ordering too many Bibles. And Fran was watching our church service online that day, and she said, one of those Bibles are for me. And she's been part of this church family ever since. All those Bibles have been distributed to people through the conversations that people have had with them and following up on those conversations. So guess what? As a step of faith, there's 15 more.
Hallelujah.
There's 15 more. 10 people have received Bibles. Some of those 10 people are in this room today as part of our church family. Others are watching online. Others are part of our friends that we serve through the food bank who come in and carry conversations with the team. Verna said to me, or said in our leadership team chat group, God already knows their names. That's faith. That's trust. And so this past week we were chatting, and after doing Sunday school last Sunday and having a tea party with the story of telling the kids that they were special and that God loved them, I was looking for a children's Bible. And there was one there that told stories. And then afterwards, Meredith came to me, and lots of times Meredith and I think very much alike. And that's scary sometimes, isn't it? But it's not even so much as that. It's God laying on our hearts something that we need to do. And so when we had a step of faith for Bibles, people came. When we had a step of faith for prayer time, people came.
Yes.
These Bibles, there are now 15 of these children's Bibles. And let me tell you the backstory. When we went on to order them, they were not $30 each. They were $4.11 each. You cannot tell me that that's not God's perfect
time. And so, as we invest in the children that do come, or on the children that come on Tuesday evenings, oh, may it be so. A step of faith. A step of faith. You can never invest too much in Bibles. You see, faith is a lifelong journey, and so having faith is also about perseverance. And even when Peter began to sink, he did not give up or turn back. He cried out to Jesus, "Lord, save me." And Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him. Now, I don't know if he had his hand on top of the water and he pulled Peter towards him. I don't know if he put his hand under the water and just kind of pulled him right up. I don't know. Don't know. We'll never know. But we do know that Jesus caught him. And that shows that even when our faith falters, Jesus is there to catch us. He doesn't abandon us in the moments of doubt. Some of you might be saying, oh, why did she, you know, I don't know, why is she ordering 15 bottles? We don't see children here. Come out on a Tuesday night and see children here. Even if a child comes once and we have the opportunity to speak Jesus into their lives, and you better believe that we're going to speak Jesus into their lives. Little Bowman this week told his mom throughout the week, "You know, Mommy, I'm special. I'm special." And Caitlin says, "And why are you special? Because God loves me." I don't know how many times I said that last week, but something resonated. So we speak Jesus into people's lives whenever that opportunity is. And so faith changes us. It changes how we see ourselves, how we see the world, how we see God, and it empowers us to step out. And then we have that temptation of fear. Fear is a powerful emotion that we experience that can be positive and negative. You know, fear is generally considered a reaction to something that immediate that threatens our security or safety. Or such as being startled by someone suddenly jumping out at you from behind a bush. One of the things that the kids used to do with Ken, the grown adult kids, I should say, they still do it, is Ken's downstairs playing the piano. And there in the house, which is not very often, but he used to do that when they were around, they would creep down over the stairs and go up to their father and go right through the roof, right? And that first initial reaction is fight or flight. A fair response. But in the story of Peter walking on the water, we see an example of this. Here's Peter, initially full of faith, steps out into the water at Jesus' command, by the way, and as soon as he takes his eyes off Jesus and sees the wind and the waves, whoosh, fear takes him down, and he sinks. He sinks, and he sinks. And he gets completely overwhelmed by his situation and just filled with fear. And when fear tempts us, it causes us to doubt God. It whispers into our ears, "You're going to sink. You can't do this. It's too hard. It's too risky." And fear tempts us to stay in the boat, to play it safe, and to stick with what's comfortable and familiar. God didn't call us to a life of comfort and safety. He called us to a life of faith and trust, a life that requires us to step out of the boat and onto the water, even when the wind is blowing and the waves are high. Now, that's not to say that fear is not a bad thing. It can be a healthy response to danger. It can protect us from harm and prompt us to do necessary precautions. But when fear keeps us from obeying God and stepping out in faith, that's where the problem comes in. When fear holds us back from the life that God has invited us into, then we know we need to reassess things. Fear is hardwired into us and will always be a part of our lives. But we don't have to let it control us. We can choose to trust God, keep our eyes on Him, and step out in faith. Because the truth is, the only thing scarier than stepping out into the water is really staying in the boat. Ken referenced that last week as we sat around the table during when we were studying the Bible or the week before, what about those disciples? They stayed in the boat. They missed out on the amazing adventure that God had for them. Oh, I don't want to be one of those who stay in the boat. This story has been told over and over. We've sung about Peter, James, and John in the sailboat. That just came to me then. The true ripple effects would be hard to quantify, but it's safe to say that millions of people have been inspired through its retelling. Matthew 14, 32 to 33. Look at it. Matthew 14. And I'm even looking it up in the children's Bible. Matthew 14, 32 to 33. And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. And those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly you are the Son of God." And when they crossed over, they landed there. And when the men at that place recognized Jesus, they sent word to all the surrounding people. After Jesus and Peter climbed back in the boat, the wind subsided. It was another lesson about trusting. It was a lesson about peace. And finally, those in the boat worshipped Jesus and said, "Truly, truly, you are the Son of God." When we trust God, we get to know him. We get to see his power, his love, his grace, and his mercy. We get to experience him in a personal and intimate way. And we get to see him. Now I want to tell you another story, and I'm going to conclude with this. One of the things that we're always active in doing is if we receive an email from our head office in Toronto whereby we can apply for financial aid, we do it. We talk about it, we do it, we say, why not? Well, what harm is it? What harm is there in it? And so consequently, some of the things that you see around the building have been part of that, whether it's through family services or through our outreach for Cafe Connection and helping us pay for that. But back in September, when we put a request in, the backstory is the keyboard that you used to see up here was Kent's keyboard. With Kent's amp. And so the time had come to upgrade. And the backstory is that we decided to put in a grant and ask for $10,000 to upgrade musical equipment to assist with worship. And it comes from the home missions money that is given by Salvation Army churches to fund in-house Salvation Army ministries and missions. And so we put in that $10,000. We believed by faith. DHQ believed by faith and granted us that $10,000 earmarked for worship, music, equipment, etc., etc. I got to tell you another story. You know that Ken and I and Bill and Courtney have been the worship team, right? It wasn't until that money that DHQ believed in Whitby that God was doing a new thing that Chantel and I had a conversation about worship team. That Marco, through our volunteer connection, had the conversation about worship team. Yes, Berna, yes. And others. Victor is at the back shadowing Bill. That's the back story. That did not happen until, by faith, both divisional headquarters, because DHQ is an acronym and we don't all understand that. Divisional headquarters gave us that grant to spend on this. And so you see, over here, you're saying, probably saying to yourself, why do you need all that? You don't have a drummer. We didn't have worship team members either. Did we? Yes, that deserves a clap. Because that is God at work.
this past week, can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
This past week, our photocopier went down. Had to get the photocopier repaired. So I'm talking about, you know, in the top of the photocopier guy, and at the same time, I'm out here putting all this stuff together. Right. I got the bass guitar, and I mean, they're tuning it, and I'm playing some lines in the bass. He comes out and sticks his head around. Turns out he's a bass guitar player. So guess who I was talking to? People are coming into our midst. We just praise God for that. Hallelujah.
And so you see God at work. And where does that stem from? Faith in God through prayer. Faith in God through prayer. And so as we pray around these tables on Sunday mornings, as we pray on Wednesday afternoons, and at any time, you are welcome to join us during these prayer times, whether on Zoom or here in person. But as we pray and have faith in God, God, as I said at the beginning of the service, there's a new thing happening.
Hallelujah.
And we want to give Him the glory and the credit. And so this leads into the ripple effect. The ripple effect. The ripple effect. They get to see Jesus working in us and through us. That's how faith spreads. That's how faith spreads. This is how we shine the light of Christ in the darkness of an unbelieving and skeptical world of confusion and chaos. It begins with a single step, whatever that step is. It begins when we answer the call and invitation of God to come and see. To come and see. And so as we wrap up today, please don't go away from this place saying the music is too loud. Because it's not. I've seen so many people coming in and worshiping as we've been practicing here in the mornings. And you know what? It adds an extra bit of work throughout the week as well. Because the worship is God glorifying. I believe that with all my heart. Because God would not have planted that seed way back when, and all this would not happen. This would not happen. It's about believing even when we cannot see. Even 6 months ago, there were not as many people sitting here in church. Were there? We're so grateful that you've joined us. You're part of our church family. It's trusting, believing, by faith. It's about overcoming obstacles and the temptation to engage in fear. Yes, of course, things are different. Nothing wrong with being different. But Peter had the courage to step out into the water and to answer that call and the invitation to Christ. Yeah, he faltered. He got caught up looking at the wind and the waves. So don't get caught up in looking at the wind and the waves. But let's experience the saving hand of Jesus Christ in a way that none of the other disciples might have experienced. Let's not allow fear to keep us in the boat. Let's step out of faith, keep our eyes on Jesus, and experience the power of His saving grace. Because the ripple effects of our faith may travel further than we could have ever imagined. That one conversation, that strum of a guitar, that sound of a note, that word of conversation, that cup of coffee, that smile. All of us using our gifts together to build and extend God's kingdom. That's what it's about. Building and extending God's kingdom so that we have a relationship with Him.